living life fully. When I do something I'm afraid of, those are the moments where I'm most alive, where I come out of a different person than I was before and usually a better person.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw,
who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
There's two things two topics that I want to talk about. One is motivation. I want to talk about like what motivates founders, what motivates people that work at startups, how we think about motivating ourselves and others. And then the hustle. Like something,
I don't like the word, so.
Hustle?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. All right.
The second topic or the first topic?
The second topic.
Great.
So now, Heaton, you have a question for me.
Yeah. Right when I walked in, I noticed some blue ink on your arm.
Yes.
And I asked you what it was all about, and you're like, we're going to do a podcast on it. So I'm excited to learn what we're going to talk about.
This is about me trying to be more sharing of personal things, not just of business things, which is something I still suck at. It's just like...
You and me both.
It's just... okay. So I got a tattoo, and... Like a year ago, I would never share this on the podcast. A year ago, I would have my shirt sleeves down and not up so Heaton wouldn't see it. So I wouldn't have to have a conversation about this right now.
What changed in the last year?
I'm just constantly trying to live to challenge some of the things I'm uncomfortable with. So I want
to... So you decided to get a permanent mark because of that?
Partially, yes.
Okay, I'm like really intrigued with people with tattoos. My cousin has like 3 tattoos. Her name's Krishna. She has a big old Krishna on her back.
Oh, nice.
I'm just fascinated.
All right, so I'll tell you about the tattoo in a second, then we'll jump into the topic of the episode. So I got a tattoo, or how I explained it to my 3-year-old, I got a sticker for adults, you know. I actually got my son the same tattoo as a sticker, and he had it for a day just to make him comfortable with it. So... This is weird. So I have 2 older brothers. They have a bunch of tattoos. I never had the desire. There was a lot of time while they were getting their tattoos, everybody was asking me if I'll get one too. And I was always saying, maybe, but I don't have anything. I have 0 desire right now, and I can't identify anything that I would like to get a tattoo from. So I never thought about it. And then a year ago, I saw the symbol that I ultimately got tattooed a little over a year ago, 1.5 years ago. I saw this symbol that's basically... coming back from the old days of alchemy, and it was a symbol that was, it's a sign that symbolizes mental alchemy. So the art of turning, a base metal thought into a golden thought, whatever. It's transmuting negative thoughts into positive thoughts. And something clicked, something resonated pretty strongly. And for the first time ever, I had the thought of like, oh, I might want to have this as a tattoo. It seemed like the logo, my life story simplified. And I like the symbol because it's very simple. It's just a circle, a triangle, and
a
square, right? So it's a very simple symbol. So anyway, so that thought came and went, and I was like, it's funny that this, like, there's nothing, and all of a sudden I'm thinking about a tattoo. Like, there's something here. I don't know why. And I got a year ago, I got like these tattoo stickers and I put it on just to be like, let me beta test this.
Baby steps. Yes.
Yes. Let me beta test this, see how I feel about it. And I had it for a few days on and I was like, hey, I forgot about it again. And it just came and went and came and went. And something funny happened. Just recently, I started working with an awesome person called Mary, who's like an executive assistant and helps me organize a ton of things, especially all the things I don't want to organize in my life. And I had a long list of things, and one of them was the tattoo. So I just threw it away, and I was like, find me some tattoo artist I can have like a conversation with about this. So she does that, and she comes back, and she just goes, oh, I had a conversation with them, and this is so simple. There's no consultation needed. I have an appointment for you in like, whatever, 3 weeks. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like my first reaction was like, oh, shit. Shit just got real. Like, am I really serious about this? And then I thought, oh, it's 3 weeks. Who gives a shit? Like, I didn't even respond to it. And then how as often... 3 weeks went by really fast. So all of a sudden it was like, the appointment is tomorrow. And it was the most interesting of things. Like, I had anxiety attacks. I had like excitement, anxiety, all kinds of things. And an intensity that I don't feel on a day-by-day basis. Like emotions that I'm like, oh, last time I felt this, I was like 12. Like, I don't know these kind of emotions anymore. So there was a little bit of a meta thing going on where I was like observing myself and going, I'm wondering what all of this is all about. This is interesting. I never feel like this. So anyway, so I was like going back and forth and asking myself, so do I really want to do this? And then the other question was, what it, like, why, where does the doubt come from? What are the reasons for doubt? And what are the reasons why I want to do it in the first place? And it came down to, like, all the doubt that I had was very, like, rational fears, like things my mind would tell me that were very fear-based. And all the reasons why I wanted to do it were more better reasons in my mind, were reasons that came more from within, that came more intuitively, that were more excited. So I was like, fuck it, I'm not going to give in to, like, any stupid rational thoughts of fear. Until I walked into the tattoo studio. Oh my fucking God. Like, again, like, this is very interesting. Part of my life is I want to keep being a beginner. I like trying things where I'm super uncomfortable and I look like an idiot. And I walk in there and I'm like, I feel like a fucking idiot. And this is weird. And this is so new and everything. So anyways, I went through a bunch of panic attacks just before we started doing the tattoo. Again, something I haven't felt in, like, ever. I'm like, I'm getting panic attacks over a fucking tattoo. This is interesting. And then there was a moment where I remember, well, why do I want this symbol? What does this symbol tell me? And it's like the transformation of, like, negative thoughts and positive, or negative emotions into positives. And all of a sudden something resolved and I just let go and I was like, let's fucking do it. So this, and it's very interesting, like, walking around with a tattoo, having people respond to it that know me, seeing how people respond that don't know me, looking at, like, it's an interesting kind of workshop that I'm going through, and so far I'm loving it. I'm having a great time. So this is the story behind the tattoo. This was longer than expected, but yeah, that's why I got it, and let's see what's going to happen next.
Okay, so what does this have to do with motivation?
Well, that's a great point. So what we want to talk about today, besides my tattoo, is what motivates people, and especially what motivates founders and startups. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this with you, A, is because I'm interested in what motivates you. And then B is because I've started just thinking about this more. And we recently actually, like, launched something around motivation. And I find the responses I get to that so interesting that I was like, oh, maybe there's something here that we need to talk about. So I'll start off with, like, my thesis and my thoughts on this, and then I'd love to hear what you think about it. So I think that in most startups, as founders, we think of ourselves and people that we want to work with as self-motivated, like as if it's something that's like a gene kind of a thing where you just have this in you and you're always motivated and you never need to be motivated by anything or anyone. So it's a topic I think that a lot of times we think of as unnecessary. If you're the right person and if you're hiring the right people, if you have the right team, you don't need to motivate them and you don't need to motivate yourself. You just intrinsically, everybody just shows up, is always motivated. And I'm wondering if that's true. And I actually not wondering if it's true. I think that it's wrong. I think that we all have different strategies to motivate ourselves. Even if we think we're intrinsically motivated, it doesn't just happen. There's a strategy behind it. There's something we do consciously or subconsciously that helps us be motivated. And I think that as teams, we create a culture that either motivates people or not, even if we're aware or not aware of what that is, what the culture is or what the thing is. We either design it consciously or subconsciously, but there's things we do to motivate each other. So I think that it's an important topic. And I was talking to somebody a week ago that was like, hey, I just hired a bunch of SDRs, sales development reps. Those are the people at the front lines that are going out there and writing cold emails, cold calls, and generate some hot leads for the account managers to close and the business to grow. So they have the hardest job in sales. The founder was telling me, now I have all these SDRs. How do I keep them motivated? Because their job sucks. It's very repetitive. It's very tough. They have to deal with all this rejection. How do I keep them motivated? So you were shaking your head when I make that statement. So I want to just turn the mic to you and ask, number one, what's your thinking on what motivates you and how do you motivate people? And how do you think of motivation in general? And why did you, maybe even starting with this, what were your thoughts when I was talking about this founder that hired these SDRs and trying to figure out a way to motivate them?
Yeah, I was shaking my head on the motivating thing with the SDRs for one simple reason. I think that founder's making an assumption that their jobs suck. What I know about SDRs is they love doing what they do if they're good at it. They love talking to new people. They love trying to get them to convert to what they want. And so I actually don't think it takes that much motivation for SDR. I would say it's just a very typical sales style where it's like they're motivated if their work actually worked and converts. And I think that the visibility of how their leads, their calls, their whatever is doing is probably the biggest thing for them in my mind when I think about SDRs and the fact that they're not like us. They like rejection. They like getting through. They actually like picking up the phone and talking to people they've never talked to before. They like that. So making the assumption that they don't like it, if he got data from his SDRs that they don't like it, he needs new SDRs. If he's just making the assumption because he doesn't like it, then he needs to go figure out what the hell they like or don't like because he doesn't know. So that's why I was shaking my head. I'm like, don't make the assumption that somebody who's doing that job every fucking minute of every day that they're at work doesn't like their job.
What keeps you motivated? How do you think about motivation? Do
you know, care you know, about it? What's your thoughts on I'm gonna give a whole different answer on this, on the way I think about it. So I think about it more like other what motivates someone to take action. I think that's an easy way to figure out what motivates people, right? So then I'm just giving my line of thinking, right? Yeah. So I'll give an example from my co-founder, and then I'm actually gonna give an example from you, right? And this is my thesis.
Yes.
So for my co-founder, I know one thing about him. He loves money. But he doesn't love money for the reasons you might think most people love money. He doesn't love money because he wants to spend it. He doesn't love money because he wants to have more of it, right? He loves money because it's a number and he wants that number to grow. So if I want to motivate him, this is me trying to motivate him, I'll find a number and tell him, hey, let's grow that number. And more importantly for him, give him full ownership and control over growing that number. Don't get in his way. Let him figure it out, but give him a fucking number. And just say, here's a number. I don't even need to set a target. I just need to, he's so good at this. I just give him a number. Hey, our traffic's at 10,000 visitors a day. He's like, oh, that's it? And then he just goes off and figures it out, right? So I think for him, a number motivates him.
But why?
Period.
But what is the kernel of why the number?
He wants more.
But why?
But just to have more. But just, why? Just.
No. It is.
It's the pride. It's pride in getting more.
A number is a simple feedback mechanism for accomplishing.
For him, for getting to. Yes. It's tangible. It's tactical.
Yep.
He's not necessarily the most creative person. Although when you talk to him, you might not think that. But he's not the most creative person. He just cares about being motivated to reach some goal. And a number is what is exactly how he thinks about it. But the biggest thing is full control.
Okay.
He has to feel like he has full control over the number, over achieving it, or he won't do it.
All right.
That's a little special thing about him.
Yep.
Now you.
Yes.
You're even easier. I think the thing that I can, and I'm talking not even about motivation now. I'm talking about what causes someone to take action.
Yes.
And I think if you figure that out, then you'll figure out what motivates someone else.
Yeah.
And I think it's easier to actually just think about what motivates people in your life to help you figure out what motivates you. That's the exercise I would do. Because if you can get that right, then you just have to look inside. Right, and be like, oh, what motivates me? Which is the hardest thing to do. So for you, I think if I wanted to do something with you, I would just have to present it in such a way where it's like, hey, we're going to go do this very fucking soon. Maybe like right now in 30 seconds. And here's what we're going to do. You ready, Stelly? And Stelly will never say no. As long as I say it like that or some form where it's like, we're going to do it immediately. You good? You down? He's like, yeah, I don't care. If I told him, hey, we're going to jump off this fucking balcony and it's all good. Just look, it's good. There's a mattress. There's a big balloon. You good? Let's go. You'll go. Yeah. You'll even go before me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Even though it was my idea. That's what motivates you. So I think one thing I would say, and then I'd love to hear what you think about what I just said. But one thing I would say is if you are searching for motivation, you are constantly going to be searching for motivation. If you are searching for what motivates you, you are always going to be searching for what motivates you, and I don't think that's a healthy thing.
Before you turn around the mic, what motivates you? What is the thing that snaps you into action?
Other people. So I wouldn't be doing this podcast alone
yes.
without you saying, hey, let's do a podcast, and without knowing that having some intuition that it would be good because our conversations are always good, even when they're not public like this, right? Or like my friend Ohm, he's a blogger, journalist, reporter, whatever the hell he is, entrepreneur, venture capitalist, he's a lot of things. But he told me to do a 30-day of blogging challenge.
Yeah, remember
and
that.
When he told me, I did it. Why'd I do it? I didn't want to let him down. It was that simple for me, right? And now I don't blog. I blog sometimes, but I rarely blog, and it's not like it kicked me in a habit. I didn't want to let him down because he challenged me to do it. And it's not the challenge that did it. It's the fact that somebody I respect who I think is good at that told me to do it. And more importantly, he was doing it because he was trying to get back in a consistent habit because he wasn't in the habit for a while. So then I knew if I did it and I kept doing it, it would also motivate him and a few other people that were doing it with us to do it too.
So then did you choose your co-founder because it's the – and you and your co-founder – by the way, I want to just this is something we should talk about in a different episode, but I love the way your partnership works. And I think there's a lot to learn, a lot to explore there. But before we do that, did you choose your co-founder because he's the type of person that will make you do a certain type of things? Like, how is that? How did you pick him?
So subconsciously, I probably did, in the sense that, like, when I see someone who's able to either – when I see someone that knows how to take action, especially when it's action, like, certain areas that, like, I think are, like, what I would call – I don't have to do it if they know how to do it, mm-hmm. right? And they can do it, and I can get them to do it with us or with me or whatever. I gravitate towards that. And I know that, I mean, this is a guy who, like, nothing was beneath him ever. Like, he used to pick up trash at Knott's Berry Farm, right, in Southern California. It's like a theme park. And he just didn't care. Like, that was his thing. Like, and he used to be proud of eating Taco Bell all the time, right? Like, it was just the way he is. And so I watched him growing up like that. And, like, there's a lot of stuff for me. Like, honestly, most of the things that motivate me is other people. That's the easiest way to get me to do something, right? If I kind of care about you, and even if I really care about you, that's a different story. But, like, the fact that he was the guy that was around me that was always just willing to do it, right? Just regardless of what it was, he was willing to do whatever it took. I admired that. So I look for things I admire in other people. And then that usually is what causes my motivation. Now, that's taken me forever to understand. So I actually have done a bunch of different random personality tests and stuff, not Myers-Briggs yet. And I don't plan on doing that, but because it's too complex for me. that was the last topic. But, like, I've done those, and I learned about myself that I really like people and I like ideas. Like, creativity. Those are the two things that I like get off on, so to speak. And so if I can find a place where I have that, I'm happy. And that's what motivates me.
All right. I love that. So then, is the takeaway from your side that once you understand yourself well enough to know what motivates you, then you don't have to search for motivation. Then you either consciously or subconsciously design a life that where this is at the center of it, of the decisions you make and the way you live your life.
Yeah, and I think that pattern I've seen in people who don't need extra motivation or don't need to search for motivation, even in you, right? The fact that I know I can get you to do something in that specific way, I know how to motivate you. But if I know how to motivate you, and it's that clear of a pattern, guess what? You probably know how to motivate yourself. You don't think about it like that, right? And yeah, there's sometimes like a little symbol or a tattoo or whatever that you're going to latch onto, but it's usually because it's around your motivation. So for me, I'll latch onto people really fast. Latch on meaning like I have to watch this myself, but I will overly get excited in a meeting, overly like somebody, you know, until I like either watch them for a time being or step back and just think, oh, this is just another person. I'm just getting to know them, right? I would consider you a good friend if I only met you once. I used to do that, right? Yeah. But it's because I know about myself, there's this pattern of other people are what I gravitate towards, and that's what motivates me.
Yeah. For me, so let me respond to what you said on what you think motivates me. So it's interesting. I think the immediacy, like snapping to action as quickly as possible, that is actually a learned behavior. It's not, I don't think it's the most natural thing for me ever, but it is definitely something that motivates me, especially. So to me, the person that will bring up the, let's, do we want to do something? And my initial response will make a big difference. So if somebody I respect brings up something I'm afraid of, or when my initial response is, oh, something is uncomfortable about it, then I'm motivated. Like, that's the power formula. If you come up and you go, let's jump over this balcony, and I'd be really afraid of heights, like, there's no fucking way I'm not jumping.
So let me describe this generically,
yes.
Okay, about what I think motivates you.
Yeah.
One, I think a bias towards action motivates you.
Yes.
Two, you've trained yourself, and I think you've trained yourself in both of these, right? I think the second one is you will do things that scare you. You believe that more than anyone I've ever met, to be honest.
Yeah.
Right? And so between those two things, I think that's what motivates you. It's action and scary shit. Which is kind of unique, honestly.
I think, I don't know if it's unique, but like what I know is that whenever something scares me, there's something there. There, to me, that's the biggest potential for growth. That's the biggest potential for learning. That's the biggest potential for living life fully. When I do something I'm afraid of, those are the moments where I'm most alive, where I come out of a different person than I was before, and usually a better person, which is why I'm gravitating towards it, and also why no matter when I'm depressed in my life, I'm not happy about it, it always, and I ask myself, am I doing enough things that I'm afraid of? It always boils down to, I've reached a point where I'm now have mastered something that I struggled with for a long time, and I've stayed at that level of mastering it for too long without taking the next step of doing something that's really uncomfortable or challenging or fear-inducing to me. And yeah, so another way of saying this is, you know, once a year, actually at New Year's, I take a day off and I think about my life. But one question I always ask myself is, what were the things I thought and I believed in a year ago? What were my strategies? What were my mantras? And if I don't think of a bunch of those things that now I believe are bullshit, I get scared. I'm like, fuck, I wasted a year and I haven't learned anything. And there's nothing more exciting to me than looking back a year and going, holy shit, I was screaming, this is the way to do it. And now I think this was so fucking stupid and I just didn't know jack shit. That's the most fun for me. That's when I'm like, holy shit, I've grown. It's a different framework for saying that what really excites me is personal growth and overcoming the boundaries of my comfort zone, expanding it.
I want to talk a little bit about personal growth real quick.
Yes.
Because I think you hit on something there. I think if you think about literally anybody, whether they know it or not, personal growth is actually what motivates. It's just, it happens in different ways for different people. It's manifested differently. Like, for example, the thing you said that really resonated, the thing you said about like doing stuff that scares you doesn't resonate with me. Like, I don't do things for that reason.
Yep.
Right. I understand your framework though. Yep. And I respect it and I admire it. Hence why we're doing a podcast together, based on my motivations, or what motivates me. But like the thing that resonated with me was this idea that you look back and you say, I felt so dumb. Mm-hmm. Or no, I'm sorry. I feel dumb for thinking that.
Yeah.
I think that's a pattern I've seen in my life too, which is like, if I look back, I don't know if I do that once a year or not, but I'll just realize something and I'll be like, oh shit. Like, I've been doing it all wrong for so long. Right. And I'm like, okay, I learned something.
Yeah.
Move it on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that moment is really motivating for me too, because it does imply learning. And I think at the end of the day, it's like, even what we're doing right now, this whole podcast and all that stuff, that's a learning for me.
Yeah.
But I'm motivated to keep doing it because I keep learning, right? And it's also interesting to do it with you, but it's also, we get feedback from people, right? And we learn how to do it better, and it's a growth opportunity. And I think, honestly, human beings are looking for growth opportunities, because if you're alive and you are able to wake up and do shit every day, then I don't understand why you wouldn't try to do better, right? Whatever better means to you.
Yeah,
it could be, you could be a better asshole.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But at least you try to get better at being an asshole.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. That's a personality thing, right? But like, I think everyone's in it for personal growth. That's my opinion.
There's this quote that's like, you're either growing or you're dying or something along those lines. And you know, looking deeper from the surface cheesiness of it, I think there's something true to it. I think if you look at the, like, I don't know, you look at the universe, you know, nothing happens until something